time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. Look, you bitten on me. I can tell by your laugh, sleeping on me.
Alrighty, guys, that was Pull Up K on the intro music, and we are back for episode 2 of the Auto Bid. We'll be joined later by the Quinnipiac men's basketball program. We're going to have head coach Baker Dunleavy as well as Jacob Burgoni. Obviously, news just broke. Those guys are going to have to shut down for 14 days due to a COVID-19 outbreak. We're going to give you guys the latest on that situation. Going to talk to you guys, talk to them about that situation, about their upcoming season. And obviously, as some of you might know, Drew and I played there. So we're going to get to talk to our old coach and our old teammate and go ahead and reminisce a little bit, man. So definitely looking forward to that. But in other news, we had a great second week of college basketball, man. There was a lot of crazy stuff that happened this week, man. We had some great games, some great wins for the mid-majors, man. So, Drew, man, I'm going to go ahead and come to you, man. What was some things that caught your eye in week 2 of college basketball, man?
Yeah, man, I think, going into week 2, man, I think UVA, man, surprised me again. Obviously, we know that they were defeated by San Francisco last week in week 1. Week 2, man, they take – you know, they eventually get a victory over Kent State in overtime, though, man. I mean, UVA, I know they're I guess, still technically the defending national champion since they won the Natty Champ last year, but thus far, they've had a tough out when it comes to mid-majors. They barely sneak by Kent State, so shout out to those guys out of the MAC program in the Midwest. Another thing that kind of caught my eye was Wyoming being able to go to Corvallis and defeat Oregon State on the road. They used a 10-2 run in the last minute and 30 seconds to pull that one off, and obviously, when you're on the road, it's definitely not easy to go ahead and do that down the stretch. So, you know, shout out to those guys. Oregon State is definitely a well-coached team. They have a talented player in Ethan Thompson over there who can fill it up quickly. So, I think, you know, Wyoming being able to go in there and get a quality win is big time, man. I also, while we're talking about the Mountain West, UNLV was also able to defeat Kansas State. Now, I know both of these teams have gotten off to a rough start thus far, you know, but I think the fact that UNLV was able to go ahead and go and secure a Power 5 win for the Mountain West Conference was big time. On episode 1, we mentioned, you know, the strength of the WCC and potentially being able to kind of surpass the Mountain West as that kind of that next, you know, major out west. You know, obviously, we have out east, we have the A-10, who's kind of widely recognized as the best major conference on the East Coast. Out west, it's traditionally been the Mountain West, but we've seen the WCC recently, have a surge. Obviously, we know what we're getting out of Gonzaga. San Francisco has been huge. You know, we got BYU, St. Mary's, Santa Clara, Pepperdine. So, you know, we know that WCC definitely is surging, but the Mountain West definitely had a strong week. We know that Wyoming, like I mentioned, was able to go to Oregon State, get a win, UNLV over Kansas State. And also San Diego State was also able to debut in the top 25. They debut at number 24. They're undefeated this season at 4-0. So thus far, my West Conference is looking strong. We know San Diego State had a great year last year, obviously before the shutdown. So it seems like they were able to, keep that momentum going into this season. They're off to a great start. So, you know, we'll see what they're going to be able to do going forward.
Yeah, nah, the Mountain West has definitely gotten off to a great start over these first 2 weeks of the season. You mentioned Wyoming getting that huge win in Corvallis over Utah State. In episode 1, I talked a lot about Utah State in that game. Utah State and BYU was one that I pointed out to watch this last weekend, and BYU was able to edge Utah State by 3 points. So, one point for the WCC over the Mountain West in that aspect. Nevada, out of the Mountain West, also picked up a great win this weekend, went to Nebraska and won. But Nevada then turned around and lost to San Francisco. So the WCC was able to kind of get even there and even the score. Actually, no, WCC is 2-0, I guess, in this weekend's matchups against the Mountain West, with San Francisco beating Nevada and then with BYU over Utah State. So, hey, man, the WCC might make in their case for the best mid-major conference out west definitively. some other things that happened over the weekend. I mean, just yesterday, Wofford just narrowly lost to Richmond. Obviously, Richmond had that big win in week one over Kentucky. Wofford, school out of the SoCon, who talked a whole lot about over that first weekend, and definitely going to talk a lot about them this episode as well. SoCon is one of the best mid-major conferences on the East Coast. One team that also had another big win we mentioned last week was South Dakota State. South Dakota State beat Iowa State and Bradley this week. That's a team, again, out of the Summit League that is going to be a major, major player come March. South Dakota State, for everybody watching this podcast, man, mark them on your calendars, man. Circle those guys come March. Those guys are going to be your 12-5, your 13-4 upsets. They're going to be in that conversation, man. Talked a little bit earlier about the SoCon with Wofford and Richmond. The SoCon had a great weekend of college basketball. Mercer won over, and they beat Georgia Tech and Georgia State. After Georgia Tech just had that victory over Kentucky, man. So that was a huge win for the SoCon. And then obviously we talked about Furman, who was supposed to play Richmond over the weekend, but Richmond had to go on pause for COVID-19. That was going to be a huge, huge matchup, man. So SoCon, in my opinion, is one of the best mid-major conferences out on the East Coast. Obviously, we talked a lot about the A-10 in episode one, but the SoCon is going to be right there, man, with your Furmans, Mercers, Woffords. Those three teams, I think, are going to be extremely good out of the SoCon this season, man. Like we said before, man, those weren't the only conferences to play this weekend. The MAC also had some games this weekend, man. So why don't we get into some smack talk, Drew?
For sure. First of all, when we talk about smack talk, man, I gotta give a shout out to our wonderful Facebook friend who gave us that name. Her name is evading me right now, but shout out to the Key Journalism group chat for the name smack talk. So into the MAC. Iona was able to pick up their first win of the season. Also, we saw them obviously take on Seton Hall. Seton Hall was able to beat them pretty convincingly. So Iona was able to get on the board, get their first win. They were supposed to obviously play Quinnipiac this Friday to open up MAC play, but now we know that that game will not happen. We're hearing that that game is going to take place now the weekend of January 8th and 9th, which is when they were actually originally supposed to play before Monmouth, who was shut down, who was originally going to open up against Quinnipiac, and they had to do a little bit of shuffling and rearranging. So now Quinnipiac goes back to their original schedule to where they'll face Iona on that January 8th, 9th. But, yeah, they were able to pick up that first win of the season. Quinnipiac was also able to get back to 500, with a win over New Hampshire after suffering two losses at Mohegan Sun to Drexel on back-to-back days. So that was also great. Marist also was able to beat Binghamton twice. So a lot of good teams that were able to kind of pick up some wins over the weekend in the MAC. We saw, like I mentioned, Iona, Quinnipiac, and Marist all picking up wins. So a few MAC teams getting on the board. But as we know, man, we still have, you know, Quinnipiac that just got shut down. Siena has yet to play a game. Monmouth has yet to play a game. So there's still a lot to be figured out in the MAC. We don't really know what that conference is going to look like because we haven't seen a lot of teams take the court yet.
Yeah, for sure. And I actually went back and did a little bit of digging. I found the person who came up with the smack talk idea. We got John Soupy Arthur. So if you're listening to this, man, big shout out to you for the smack talk idea. That was classic, man. So, but yeah, man, the MAC is going to be an interesting conference, man. We just seen Quinnipiac is going to have to go on a 14-day quarantine today. Also, Siena announced they're going to have to also quarantine for 14 days. Monmouth has yet to play a game this season. Siena has yet to play a game this season, man. So there's going to be a lot of uncertainty heading into that conference schedule with teams, you know, having not played games. Some teams like Quinnipiac was able to get four games in, man. St. Peter's have been able to play a couple games. We saw them beat Stony Brook, and they also defeated LaSalle. So they're going to be a major player in the MAC. They've been able to stay healthy for the most part, knock on wood. I mean, it seems like every day, you know, things change with respect to this COVID thing, man. So it's going to be a wild year in the MAC, man. There's definitely a whole lot of good teams. The MAC is always a conference where, you know, there's a whole lot of parity. Nobody ever really runs away with the league. Obviously, I think this year, Siena and St. Peter's are probably the two best teams in the MAC. And then I think that next tier, you know, your Quinnipiac, your Monmouth, your Manhattan, your Iona, Niagara, all those teams are kind of probably falling in that, to that second tier. So that 3 through 6, 7, 8 seeding in the MAC is going to be extremely, extremely competitive this season. Obviously, we know after the first 5 seeds get that first round bye in the MAC tournament. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who comes out of that pack with that bye, man. We're going to go ahead and get you guys over to the interview with Quinnipiac men's basketball. We have Baker Dunleavy and Jacob Bergoni. So we're going to go ahead and get you guys over to that interview right now.
All righty, guys. All Facts Media here. My name is Andrew Robinson. I'm joined, as always, by my twin brother, Aaron Robinson. Today, we have special guests. We have the Quinnipiac men's basketball program. We have head coach Baker Dunleavy and sharpshooter Jacob Bergoni. So you guys, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't get the first episode. Episode 2, though. It's pretty good.
Yeah, man. You know, hey, listen, man. We're glad to have you guys on, man. And definitely just want to start off by just thanking you guys for coming on. Obviously, as some of you guys may know, me and Ace played at Quinnipiac for 4 amazing years. Had the pleasure of playing under Coach Dunleavy for 2 years. So kind of want to start off, Coach, by asking you, man. Like, obviously, you know, from when me and Ace were there, you know, your first year, now going into year 4 of your coaching era at Quinnipiac, what's different? You know, looking back at kind of when you first got the job, obviously to now, just thinking back, you know, what have you learned? What have you kind of implemented and changed from year 1 to year 4? And kind of what's the whole journey been like throughout this 4 years?
Yeah, it's and you guys, you know, had a firsthand look at it, and you can attest to how kind of just it's a little bit of a whirlwind when there's a coaching change, especially for players. I mean, for me, obviously my first head coaching job, trying to figure out a new environment for you guys. I mean, all you guys that love Quinnipiac and were dedicated to the school and were awesome enough to stay and give me your trust, you guys know how it is. It's anytime something's new, it's interesting, right? But you also have to figure out how to make it work for you. And one thing I was blessed to have is, like, although I didn't recruit you guys personally, have guys on the roster, and it's a credit to Coach Moore, they were just really good guys, fun guys to be around, worked hard, and again, gave me your guys' trust. I mean, I think of that first year where you guys were there, we didn't have the best record, but we played our best basketball at the end of the year, you know, which I thought still one of the best accomplishments we've had is how well we played at the end of that season. And a big part of that was, like, you guys, Dooley, all of them just kept coming to practice with a great attitude, positivity. I was like, hey, let's keep doing this. And that's what we've really been able to build on is just that mindset. And it was easier to try and create that given, you know, your guys' influence and the guys that were good enough to stay and give me their trust. So the things that are different is just more familiarity with the school. Obviously, we've brought in guys that I think really are bought into what we're trying to do. And the toughest part is the challenge to mature, grow, and stay consistent. You know, I think we've got good young players, we have good veterans, but, you know, keeping that roster consistent, having guys grow within the program and just keep improving. But it's no different than anywhere else. And I think it's probably more boring from a coach's perspective. It's just actually probably more interesting from your guys and Jake.
Right. Now, the big news of the day is that you guys are going to have to go on pause due to a positive test for COVID-19. What was your reaction when you first found out, and how did you inform the team when the news broke?
Yeah, I think all coaches are just going to give you the same answer when you find out. You're just so crushed for your guys because you now hardly work. And also, like, how much our guys, I mean, I've seen it, how much they've sacrificed in terms of social life and just everything, just being locked in their rooms and not seeing anybody else and not going to restaurants, the whole thing. So I've seen them sacrifice, and it's like, damn, we're trying to do everything perfect, and you still have a case through nobody's fault. So felt for them mostly. And, you know, as we do every time adversity strikes, we just talk about, like, hey, how can we make this – never going to be the best case scenario, but how can we turn it into a positive? We got 4 games in, got a lot of video to watch. We can get in depth our film sessions. You know, we can find ways to kind of lock in a little bit more on, all right, what are we doing well? What do we need to get better at? I think for coaches, we can regroup and get healthy. We got some guys banged up. So we'll use it in that way. But, man, I think we were really excited to get our MAC season started on Friday. But we don't make some of these choices. You know, we're humble enough to know that there's a bigger power out there making a lot of these decisions for us.
Right. Now, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, going really in-depth with the film session. What are you guys going to be doing during this time to kind of make sure you guys are staying sharp from a physical standpoint? Can you guys do, like, Zoom workouts, or are you guys going to be doing stuff in their rooms? Like, what does that look like if you can do anything at all?
Well, I mean, you'd know what my film sessions were like if you weren't always asleep in them, man. Had to get you first today. You got me first last year. It's, you know what it is? You got to manage it, because, like, as a coach, it's like, all right, we need to do an hour of film every day on Zoom, and we need this and we need that. But as you guys know, it's like, it becomes very monotonous, Zoom life. And you got to shake it up a little bit and try and, like, make sure that's quality over quantity. Like, don't do it just to do it, but make sure there's very specific, very to the point things that we're teaching, as opposed to, like, you know, when I clip up a game and I'm watching a game, by the end, I got this whole sorter of clips that's like offense, defense, ball screens, everything, right? And if you just go through it, the guys are going to just absolutely not know kind of the purpose for it. They're just going to listen to me talk. And that's not what I want it to be. So attack very specific angles, and then, you know, every once in a while, mix in something that's more team building than just basketball.
Yeah. Now, obviously, like you said before, the guys were all excited. You guys were all excited for this Friday game against Iona. I see that there's a gap between you guys play at Marist January 1st and 2nd, and then at Monmouth, I think it's the weekend of the 15th. And then Iona also have that gap the same weekend that you guys do. Is the plan to play them that January, I think it's the 8th and 9th weekend, or is that what's going to happen?
That was our original date to play. So what happened was they were going to play Monmouth opening weekend, and Monmouth had a pause. Mm-hmm. So we were supposed to actually have our bye this coming weekend. Oh. So what they did was they pulled us out of our bye to play Iona. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know it's like, it's crazy to keep track of, but now we'll kind of revert back to our original schedule. Now we do have a bye. Yeah. Yeah, we have a bye this weekend, and our original date to play Iona was January 8th, and that'll continue to be the case. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So now, as far as, like, with the protocols, like, is this a 10-day quarantine or 14-day quarantine? And when will you guys be able to resume back basketball activities, game? When will your next game be? Like, what does that look like going forward?
Yeah, I think, like, with these, you got to go through all the scenarios. So we had one positive case. If that continues to be the case, you're looking at 14 days. And even though the CDC has announced some alternate options, I think local health officials here and certainly at our school believe that 14 days is still the appropriate amount in terms of, you know, your responsibility to public health. So as of right now, we're looking at 14 days, and we're just hoping that we can keep it to one positive. But the way this thing spreads, we're going to just keep testing, and we'll evaluate as we go. So, you know, if it's one case and we can get this quarantine done, it makes it pretty simple. But if positive pop up, you just handle them accordingly.
Yeah. Now, for you, Jake, obviously you're entering year four, man. And obviously, me and Drew remember when you were a bright little freshman coming on campus, man. And now, obviously, 4 years later, you're closing in on the 1,000-point mark. You're one of the best three-point shooters to have come through the program. What has your journey been like over these 4 years in Hamden?
I would say it's been a lot of fun. That's been the biggest thing. I think the people that I've met has been amazing, and it's been the best 4 years of my life. I think I'm really thankful for the opportunity Coach Dunleavy's given me to come to school over here, and the people that I've met. That's been the biggest thing that stood out to me. There's been a lot of ups and downs on and off the court, but I think sort of our philosophy of attitude has really helped me just in life, and I think that's something we'll carry with me throughout the rest of my life, and lean on the values that we sort of instill as a team.
My coach, obviously this has been one of the most puzzling years as far as the coronavirus and the pandemic. What has it been like for you trying to coach the team throughout all this chaos where you don't really know what tomorrow will look like as far as if you're going to be practicing, if you're going to be playing a game? You know, what has that been like for you trying to get these guys ready to play a game?
It's been wild. It's it's been a challenge for everybody. I think what Jake mentioned, we talk all the time about it, just being able to handle adversity and you know, you guys know we talk about attitude all the time and just how much of life you don't really control. I mean, nobody knows that better than you guys. And you know, your real calling card in life is how you respond to adversity and how you keep kind of getting up off the floor and keep fighting. So, you know, I think we've learned really to, more than anything, plan the best we can for like today and tomorrow. And then everything else is etched in pencil. You know, we're just ready to adjust and control what we can. But I will say, like, our team, I know for a fact, has sacrificed a ton. And, you know, we have not been shut down as many times as a lot of teams out there. And, hey, listen, I mean, if you get this thing, it's hard to avoid it, honestly. But to avoid it, you got to just be super diligent. And I think our guys have done that. Not that we've been perfect, but they've done a really good job of sacrificing. So it's been easier, relatively, kind of because of their dedication and how much they want to have a season. But still, I mean, it's been tough to plan. It's been tough to, man, you guys know how great college summers are in terms of improvement in the weight room and getting on the court and improving your skill set. Just for our guys not to have that alone was really tough. And like I said, I'm very pleased with the approach our guys have shown. And it's not a normal year. Like, we're not where we probably should be given it's, you know, early December. But this is a unique year and our guys have handled it really well.
Yep. Now, Jake, obviously you were in Australia over the spring and summertime period. So you had a completely different perspective from the guys that were at least, you know, able to be in the States. What were you doing, you know, during the shutdown, kind of try to stay involved, try to stay ready? I know the virus didn't affect Australia the same way that it did here in the States. So what was it like over there trying to prepare for a season, you know, during this pandemic?
They were misreporting over there in Australia. They weren't reporting the real numbers.
So we were in lockdown for probably the first month. I was home in April after coming back. But it was different. It was hard. Like, I wanted to, initially I thought I'd go home for a couple of months and probably come back for summer one and we would, you know, get ready for summer one, and then that didn't happen, and then summer two didn't happen. But I think it didn't change anything at the end of the day. I kept working hard, and I was lucky to be able to have access to great resources in the gym, to be able to train with my old club back home, Sturt, and some of the professional guys, and just play pickup and work out by myself. And then Mom helped me a lot, you know, Mom and Dad. She rebounded a lot at the old high school, so she got me in there, which was fun. We had some good times.
If you weren't going to mention that, I was going to jump in there and give you some look, right? I'm like, don't talk about your club.
I had to get that in there.
You probably played the club for 2 weeks. Your mom was rebounding for you and putting you through drills.
Six months, yeah.
Let's give credit where it's due.
There you go.
But I think the biggest thing for us as a team was just communication and staying in touch. I think it's easy to all go your separate ways when you're not together. But I think we did a great job of communicating in our group chat and just guys one-on-one, everyone reaching out to different guys and checking in on them physically and making sure that we're getting in work and preparing to come back when it's time, but also mentally as well. I think we were all leaning on each other as well, because it was a tough time for some guys.
Yep. Now, for you, Coach, man, obviously you guys just have, you know, begun the season. You played four games. Thus far, you got a 2-2. What are your thoughts on just how you guys have begun the season thus far? What do you guys need to improve on? What do you – are any, you know, player surprises thus far throughout the season?
I mean, it's wild. I mean, we've had four games. We had a game scheduled against Maine. That one was canceled due to COVID. You know, we went to Mohegan. We were supposed to have like six or seven different opponents. They got cycled through. Ended up playing Drexel twice, who's an excellent team, really well. You guys know them. They, you know, they're well coached, good program. So I thought, you know what I would liken it to is like when you have those first scrimmages behind closed doors every year in October, that's like what these games felt like, because you haven't gone against anybody else yet. And you normally have those to kind of get the rust off. That's what these games have felt like, even though they count, you know, they're real games. So the best thing about our team so far is I think we have good players, and I think we have guys that are just trying to figure out what the coaches want them to do, which is a good combination. And sometimes that can produce good results, and sometimes it can result in thinking. And I just think we have some new guys that are still thinking a little bit, and that's only natural. But I've been really pleased with the guys' concentration level, preparation, taking everything seriously, playing. We played very hard. I think we have played hard in terms of execution and doing what we're supposed to do. You know, we have a ways to go. It's like I said, it's not a normal improvement arc. You know, it's not a normal December. So, you know, we're probably somewhere where we would normally be in mid-October, late October, and that's okay. That's what it is right now. But I like our guys' attention right now to detail and improvement. And I think if that stays, you know, we'll be fine by the end of the year. But, you know, we really, really have been honing in on the defensive end and spent probably 75-80% of our time on our man-to-man defense. So I like where that is in terms of just as a base. But we got a lot of kind of kinks to iron out.
Yep. Now, Coach, one thing that I've noticed watching you guys is that, you know, this year's team, more than in years past, is extremely balanced. Obviously, in past years, obviously, there was a guy like a Cam Young that's taking a bunch of shots. Or a guy like, you know, your Rich Kelly and Kevin Marfos. Or not even that Kev was taking a lot of shots.
Don't get me in trouble.
Of course. But there was one thing I noticed about this team is that you guys are really unselfish. Like, nobody really cares who gets the credit. You know, you guys have had different leading scores throughout the first few games. You guys have some things, young guys like Ty Moore who have stepped up early on. What do you think about this team's unselfishness and the way that guys, you know, there's so many different ways that you guys can be successful. You know, even a guy like Tyrese, who's been injured the past few games, coming back into the lineup hopefully at some point in time. So what do you think about the different ways that you guys can be successful this year with this team?
Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, like we don't have a lot of – we have one senior, and we have Jack Higgins, who's a walk-on for us, who's a senior as well, who's a big integral part of what we do. I mean, he's there at practice every day working hard, setting the tone. And obviously Jacob. And those guys, they set the tone for that. You know, like Jake said over the summer, handling communication, making sure the guys are together, coming back. You know, this is Jake's senior year. And, you know, Jake wants to have a great senior year, and he wants to be a pro. And so if guys see him panicking over that or talking about his role and shots, then it trickles down. But the opposite is true too. They see him, the way he handles himself. You know, his priority is winning and his teammates. So, you know, we talked about that in the locker room after our game last night. That's what it's going to be with this team. The strength of this team is going to be in numbers, and the different guys can step up different nights, you know, knowing that we know where our leadership comes from, but sometimes the numbers will come from different places. And that has to not only be okay with everybody, that's got to be something everybody's excited about. And so far, that's been the case. And then you see if that can last over a whole season. I think it can.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been really excited to play on this team, you know, with the ball spreading around instead of Cam every night. She's coach.
Take credit for that. It was partially my fault, but Cam get buckets. Cam sure get some buckets. So we had to let him go sometimes.
He sure did. Now, Coach, yeah, I think something that you said was very interesting about, you know, you said you guys are practicing about 75-80% man-to-man. We noticed last year you guys played a lot of zone. I remember when we were there, we didn't play that much zone at all. Like, do you think this year you guys are going to go back to playing a lot more zone or back to the man-to-man? What are you guys looking to do on the end of the ball this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think as unfair as it is sometimes, I think a lot of the ways, in terms of ways you play basketball, has to do with not only your personnel, which should be number one, like what do your players do well, but also like as a coach, what do you believe in? You know, and I think one thing last year, our personnel, I think at times how big we were, the best thing for us was zone. In terms of when we had lineups with, you know, a five-man and 2 4-men on the floor together, just getting your best players out there. You got to defend what suits them best. But I think we have a really good personnel this year for man-to-man. I think we have a team that's working on getting connected, like playing on a string. We have good individual defenders. We have probably more athleticism than we've had. I think we have a good man-to-man personnel, and it's something that I probably, to be honest, believe in a little bit more, even though I thought we coached the zone well last year. Our guys learned the zone well last year. But by the end of the year, we played more man. And I want to say, and Jake could probably speak to this, that like, I think players want to play man. You know, I really do. I think they want to guard their man. I think they want to, there's a level of responsibility in man that I think guys take ownership of. And I think our guys feel that way. And so far I've been happy with it. Not to say that we won't play zone, but it'll be more of something we use to mix it up.
Now, Jacob, for you, man, obviously we use the word attitude, you know, on this call a lot and throughout the program.
Drew's still wearing it.
Oh, yeah, my guy Drew definitely is still wearing the attitude shirt to this day, but
he hasn't taken it off.
Right? For those who are listening to this show who don't know what attitude is, from a player perspective, you know, what is attitude for the viewers? Kind of fill them in on what this word is that's so prevalent in this program.
Attitude is, so we can't always control what happens to us, but we can always control how we respond to it. And I think in life, we never know what's going to hit us. And especially in these times, that's like a great example of it. You can, like you, yourself, like you created this this podcast for yourself and your Facts Media in a time when things are difficult and it's easy to, you could easily shut it down and feel sorry for yourself, but we're all going through the same thing. So I think it's how you respond to that. And we use that on the court, like, whether you're making or missing shots, there's a lot of other things we can do on the floor to contribute to winning.
Now, Coach, we spoke to King Rice a little bit earlier about the MAC schedule and about how this year obviously is a lot different when you're playing, you know, the same opponent back-to-back each weekend. What are your thoughts on just the schedule for this season with these back-to-back games? How do you think that's going to, you know, impact you guys going forward?
Well, I just think everything comes down to, number one, health and safety, and trying to keep our players as healthy as possible. And then number two, being able to get games in. So as much as a coach, you know, it's kind of funky playing the same team 2 days in a row. And you wouldn't I probably wouldn't design it that way in a normal year. But I think in this year, it's a no-brainer. And given the priorities we set, it's the way to do it. So with that, it'll alter the way we kind of handle our work week, the way we handle preparation. And there'll be a newness to that for everybody. But like I said, I think it's the right thing to do. And in a way, it's kind of cool. You know, it's almost like baseball. You know, like, you know, teams come into town, they play a homestand, and you play the same team a few days in a row. For us, you know, we're going to go into, you know, to win two in a row, you got to win the first one. And we got to really prioritize that first game. And then we did this against Drexel in terms of prep. It's like, all right, you know, the next morning you get together. And it's like, from a coach's perspective, hey, do what I told you to do last night, okay? No, but, you know, a couple minor adjustments if they're there, but you got to keep it super simple and prioritize recovery because I think in that second half of that second game, guys' legs are going to go and it's going to come down to, like, guts, you know, and who can play harder and just kind of push through that last 10, 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Now, Jacob, for you, I mean – this is your last year in Hampton. Obviously, you were able to land a spot in the preseason All-MAC team. What do you want your lasting legacy to be in Hampton when it's all said and done after this season?
I think to obviously go out on top would be the goal for me this year, and I think that's just setting the tone every day with my leadership and being a guy that is remembered as an everyday guy and someone that showed up every day and was working, that did a lot of extra work to put myself in the position that I'm in. And I think if I can impart that on as many guys as they can, it'd be a great achievement of mine. And obviously once I'm done here, I want to see the program be really successful for years to come as well. So that's important to me. But yeah, I think having a great year as a team and having that ultimate success at the end of the year, and I think we have a great chance of doing that. We have, like I said, Coach said, that first year we had together was really important. Like we didn't have a lot of wins to start the year. And I think every day guys showed up and we were able to have that end result with a couple of wins in the MAC tournament because of that. And I think it's a credit to the leaders we had that year. And I think like you guys and our senior captains that year did a great job of just bringing it every day. And that's something I want to empires as well, so we can have that success towards the end of the year as well.
Sure. Now, Jacob, obviously, you know, you're closing in this year on a 1,000-point mark. You also have a chance to go down as the all-time leader in three-point field goals made. You know, as fellow shooters, man, I'm definitely happy for you, man. And just seeing you grow as far as, you know,
thank
your progression in your game, man. But, you know, what would that mean to you to kind of leave Quinnipiac, you know, with, as that 1,000-point score, all-time leader in three-point field goals made? I mean, what would that mean to you?
Yeah, I suppose it's something you don't really think about what it means until it happens, I guess. And I guess I got to keep working hard and just controlling what I am and keep playing my role in the team, and that'll take care of itself. But yeah, it would be a great honor. I think just representing my family, and that'd be a great achievement for all of us and everyone that's put in the time and effort to develop my game. And I think it's a big reflection on them and the coaching staff of believing in me. I think to achieve things like that, you need an opportunity to play for nearly 4 years, unless you can get it in one. But yeah, I'm just really thankful to have been able to learn and grow here. And I think I've had great teammates along the way. You obviously don't get as many threes as I do without guys throwing the ball. So yeah, I'm lucky for the guys that we've had here.
Sir, shout out to the vitamins, man. Getting their shots of every day, coach.
Vitamins. Yeah, Drew was chasing a lot of my rebounds around one of those summers. A lot of long rebounds.
Hey, man, we won't chase anybody else's rebounds, man. Nah, but the one guy that I had a chance to work out with Ty Moore this summer, one time in Baltimore, and that specific, I don't know if it was a bad day for him or if it was just, you know, a testament to the vitamins, because he's been shooting the ball really well these first couple of games, and I was thinking, hey, man, that those guys must be getting in a whole lot of vitamins, you know, per usual. But I mean, coach, I mean, for you, man, I mean, what is you know, actually, when we were there that first summer, we were doing, like, you know, every day, the vitamins, you know, before practice in the summer. Is that something that you guys still do? And is it different? You know, what does that look like not nowadays with the vitamins?
Ace, did you teach him the double cross step back three?
Hey, man, I didn't teach him that, you know what I'm saying? Maybe he was looking at some film or something, man, you know? Nah, he's been shooting the ball really well, man. Like I've seen before. I don't know if that workout in the summer was an anomaly, because he didn't shoot it well that day. Like, I was like, man, I don't know, can this guy shoot? Then I watched the game, I'm like, hold on, this dude, 3 for 5 from three, like, I don't know. So,
yeah, now he puts in the work.
What's the method behind the madness to this?
Yeah, I think you rubbed off on him. I think your confidence rubbed off on him. He is confident, you know. And it reminds me of, like, when I coached Josh Hart at Villanova, he came in and he didn't have a very, like, sound mechanical shot, so we had to make a lot of changes. But, like, so, like, he would come into practice changing his shot, wouldn't make them. But in the games, he's coming, he's fire, you know, because he had a great belief in himself. And he would take shots, be like, no, no. And then they're going, like, all right, you know, like, he's a shooter. Because part of being a great shooter is the confidence level and the work ethic. And I think that's what Ty Moore has shown is, and we're 4 games in, right? But he's taken time to make some changes, and he's worked really hard, and he's confident. So I think those would be the main three things. But it's hard to be a great shooter without – good fundamentals, practice, and then also having that belief in yourself. But the good thing for him, and like, Jake had 10 rebounds yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, that's stepping up. That's big time. And what we talk to our guys, you guys know it, is, like, you know, we like to have the freedom. Like, if you're open from three, I want you to shoot the ball. But the confidence you get comes from, I don't need to make this shot to help my team win, right? If I'm only out here to make this shot, well, then if I miss, I should come out. But if I'm missing shots, but, like, time to rebound the ball, it gets deflections, block shots, that's what we really want to promote to those guys. And if we're not playing hard doing those things, it doesn't matter if you make shots. So he's been a two-way player to this point, and I think Jake's been a really good example for him and our older guys, just for setting the tone on how we want to do things.
Sure. Now, on a little bit of a lighter note, man, like, thinking back to when me and Ace were at QU, man, what do you was one thing you guys remember, good, bad, just being in the locker room with us back in our time? I want to hear from both of you guys on this one.
You have a chance to get your shot back, coach. I mean, Drew took a stab at you earlier, so now it's time for you to get us back, you know?
Yeah, I got a couple. I'll let Jake take the floor. He might use one of mine.
As soon as you said that, the first thing that came to mind was when someone got a little sleepy in the front row of film one time.
I don't even remember that. That happened?
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I think that might have been, like, one of your first film sessions too. It was early on.
You guys eat so much, man. I can't imagine not taking a nap after you guys have all the food we gave you. Shoot.
That's one thing I do miss. Those meals were definitely definitely top tier.
It ain't like that anymore, man. Coronavirus wiped out our team meals. We just were all grab and go, one container. You guys would hate it.
Oh,
That was not a song with me, man. I need more than one go-around, for sure.
I remember, I do remember, we went on the road and we played in that, in the Paradise Jam, and there was a hurricane in the Virgin Islands, so it got relocated to Lynchburg, Virginia, right? Paradise Jam in Lynchburg, Virginia at Liberty. And, like, you know, we're down there, and we go to, it was like Chili's or something like that, and you guys were like, I was like, hey, what can we order? I'm like, I don't know. Get whatever you want. You're like, whatever we want? And I saw when we left there, you dudes, man, like, you weren't the only ones, but dudes had, like, trays of to-go. I'm like, they didn't eat here. My coach was like, no, they ate here, too. No, they're just ordering extra. I was like, all right, I got to be a little bit more literal when I say whatever you want. But no, I would say the thing I remember the most about you guys, and this is kind of what we touched on earlier, was, like, I just remember in your first year, we had game after game where we were in it at the end, and there's just something went wrong, you know, and double overtime, we were losing, you know, we got off to a good start and then we went on a losing streak. And I was just like, these guys deserve to win. You know, they're putting in the work. They got great attitudes. They deserve to win. And you guys, you, Al, you know, Isaiah, like the guys that were older on that team, Dooley, came in every day. And I would just come into practice like, all right, I got to find a way to breathe life and positivity into these guys, because they're going to be crushed. We just lost in double overtime and they played their hearts out. And I would come into practice and it would be like loud. Everybody would be like ready to go. You know, you guys were pumping dudes up. There was enthusiasm. And like, that is such an incredible life skill. And again, to this day, one of the proudest things I've done in coaching is be able to have a team who, by no fault of their own, like, we were losing 7 out of 8 games, whatever it was, we were getting better. And the reason we were able to use those practices to get better. And then by the end of the year, you know, we win 2 games in that tournament. We're in the semifinals. We're a possession or two away of getting to the finals. But it's all because of the practices that we had while we were on a losing streak. And you guys, you know, as much as anybody, were a huge part of that. So, you know, that's really what I remember, aside from your guys' eating habits and less than superb closeouts.
Hey, the close-out.
There we go. That's my shot. I'm done.
Those might never change. We were at Comedy. It was like, yo, man, hey, what's up with the closeout?
You're not closeout guys. That's all right.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
I'm all over hot. Run them off the line.
Run them off the line. Right? Run them off the line.
Now, Coach, man, real quick, man, I don't think it would be fair if we ended this without a little typical, you know, debate. At least I want to hear your top 5 guys in the NBA right now, just like old times we used to debate at dinner. So give me your top 5 guys in the NBA today.
Oh, wow. I hope I get this right, because I would have to – I don't want to be forget somebody. But, I mean, it's obviously, I don't think we need to argue. It starts with LeBron. I think personally, the 2 best players in the league are on the Lakers. I do. I think those are the best 2.
This is amazing.
And then I think Kawhi is 3. And I'm a big Giannis fan, but I do think he's 4. 5. Give me a couple of candidates for this. 5.
Because Kevin Durant. I have Kevin Durant.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no, but he's just been – no, no, no. He's been – but I'm just bumping him down because I don't know what he's going to be. A torn Achilles is – if Kevin Durant was what he was before he stayed, he'd be in the top 2. He'd be in the top 2. He'd be 2 to me.
Ooh. Couldn't agree more, Coach.
But again, Achilles, you guys look at the history of guys who've had Achilles, and I think he will come back successfully.
Dominique in Atlanta came back off Achilles and averaged 30.
Who did?
Dominique Wilkins in Atlanta. Torn Achilles, came back next year and averaged 30 a game.
I mean, you can average 30, but – Kevin Durant's more than averaging. So Kevin Durant could average 30 on one leg. It's a matter of making your team win. And Dominique Wilkins never made his team win. So we can debate. Those are 2 different human beings and players. So Kevin Durant has all the respect in the world from me. So that's probably the top 5, depending on his health, where he is in that top 5. Who else? Who else am I missing? What else did I get wrong?
There's a lot. I mean, I couldn't agree more, Coach. I would have had the same top 5. I mean – Harden, people say Harden should be in that discussion, you know. But I like that top 5. I'll just have KD at 2, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know? I'm with you. I love Harden, but I'm going with, and I think he's an underrated defender. But I'm going with two-way players only on my top 5.
Steph Curry's in there as well.
This could be another hour the way you guys are going.
Hey, you're coming at me. Like, I apologize. I'm not coming at KD at all. Dude's been out for a while.
He's a DMV guy. You know I got to make sure I shout him out. But we are getting low on time here, so I just want to make sure that I thank you guys for coming on with us. It was a ton of fun as always, man. And, you know, guys are going to be tuning in on Friday and Saturday and the whole rest of the season watching you guys do great things, man. So thanks a lot for coming on with us today.
We'll be tuned in to you, too. Thanks for having us. Great being with you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say congratulations on what you're doing. It's awesome. And one thing that really stood out to me when I first got here was just how genuinely happy you were for your teammates. And it's awesome to see you guys have success now in what you're doing. And congratulations. And we look forward to seeing you keep growing.
Amen.
We love you guys.
Great job, boys.
Thank you, man. Hey, you guys have a great rest of the week. All righty, guys. That was the Quinnipiac men's basketball program. Huge shout out to Coach Baker Dunleavy and senior leader Jacob Burgoyne, man. Definitely brought back a whole lot of memories, man, going back to those days in Hamden, man, those film sessions, that calf food, man, those catered meals we used to get before and have to practice, man. Definitely missed those days. So big shout out to those guys. Best of luck to them as they navigate this 14-day shutdown. But, man, Drew, I wish I could go back to the days, you know, playing at the bank, or I guess now it's the People's United Center. But, you know, for me, it'll always be the bank, man.
Nah, for sure, man. I don't appreciate Coach Dunleavy making fun of our closeouts, man. We're gonna have to get back with him on that one, man. But man. Nonetheless, that interview was definitely a walk down memory lane, man. Reminiscing on those great Eli's meals, man. You know, a sleeper, man, was the York Hill cafeteria. You know, a lot of people was talking about the dorm food. You know, people like to eat on campus nowadays, man. Well, I'll tell you, man. Quinnipiac definitely had great food. If any Quinnipiac students out here listening, if you guys disagree, man, I don't know what to tell you, man. Cause that York Hill Cafe had the fire, the brick oven pizza up there. They had to make your own pasta. They had steak up there, salmon. I mean, we was eating pretty good at Quinnipiac, man.
Yeah, I realize, Drew, you know what I'm saying? Quinnipiac cost north of 60 racks to even go to the school. So a lot of people, you know, they used to eating the five-star meals. See, me and you, we grew up eating rug soup, you know what I'm saying? So you give me and you a ham and turkey sandwich, we're going to think it's good. But I must say, man, that York Hill Cap was legendary, man. They used to have the brick oven pizza. You walk in there one day, they used to have the shrimp, the steak. You know what I'm saying? You go on Main, you got the pasta bar, man. They had the little sushi restaurant down on Main, man. The food was elite. I don't know. I used to see my peers' Snapchats, Instagram stories. I was like, hey, man, our food is way better than that. So I don't know what folks used to be talking about, man. I love Chartwell's. Shout out to all the Chartwell's workers, man. I don't know if any of you are hear this podcast, man. But if any of my Q students are listening to this, man, please, you know what I'm saying, tap in. Let me know what y'all thoughts were on Chartwell's and the QU dining experience.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure, man. But, I mean, let's talk about it, man. Obviously, we know that Quinnipiac, obviously, they just received that news that they're going to be shut down. You know, we know what the match is going to look like. We kind of touched on it earlier with, you know, the teams that we're expecting to be good, man. What do you think this shutdown is gonna do for Quinnipiac? Do you think it's gonna hurt their chances of winning the league in the long run? Do you think they'll be all right? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing for Quinnipiac is that right now, like Coach Dunleavy said, you know, they had some guys that were banged up. So I think this is gonna be huge for them to kind of get some rest. You know, a guy like Tyrese Williams missed the last two to three games dealing with an ankle injury. And a freshman Lewis Corknight that has missed some time. So I think this is gonna be essential for them, for those guys, you know, they're not playing Manhattan, so they're not gonna even play until January 1. So you're not looking at, you know, they have about almost a month, you know, 3 weeks off basically to nurse these injuries, to get healthy, man. So I think for them specifically, I don't think it'll do much harm. I mean, I think that they have a young team. I think that those guys are gonna be find ways to stay active, stay in shape. So I think this is gonna be good for them, man. I mean, obviously you never want to pause for, you know, 3 weeks in the middle of a season. So, you know, best case scenario is obviously not to be playing games, but I think for them specifically, because they're nursing some injuries, I think it would be great for them to, you know, get some time off and get healthy, man, and head into the January 1 stretch at full strength.
Not for sure, man. And when it comes to the MAC, man, I mean, I know that like we mentioned, a lot of teams have not been able to get on the floor yet, but I mean, I don't know about you, Ace, but I cannot wait to see Monmouth play. I'm really looking forward to seeing that backcourt of Donovan Toley and Deion Hammond. You know, we know that team has a ton of seniors, and Malik Martin and those guys. But I'm thinking that Donovan Toley and Deion Hammond could be like, you know, Justin Robinson and Michael Seaborn 2.0. Now, we know what Justin Robinson was able to do in the MAC. I'm not saying that Donovan Toley is Justin Robinson, you know, but I think he has the potential to maybe blossom into that over his career. I think, you know, we see the similarities, you know, two smaller guards that can put the ball on the floor, very crafty, can score with the best of them. And obviously, Deion Hammond is somebody who's probably going to break the all-time three-point record at Monmouth. He's been able to expand his game, as we mentioned, talking to King Rice. He's talking about his ability to post up now, put the ball on the floor, create his own shot. So I'm thinking that Monmouth backcourt is going to be extremely, extremely fun to watch this season.
You know, it definitely will, man. Monmouth is going to be a huge player in the MAC for sure with Donovan Toley and with Deion Hammond. I think Manhattan is a team that not enough people are talking about, man. The additions of Anthony Nelson, Samba Diallo, and Jason Douglas Stanley, those three transfers that they were able to get in the spring, combining with your Samir Stewart, with your Warren Williams, you know, these guys that are returning, I think that's going to be a huge, huge contributing factor for them going forward in the MAC. Obviously, we know Steve Mastriello is one of the best coaches in the MAC. You know, he's been in the tournament, you know, multiple times. I think Manhattan's going to be a team that if they can stay healthy, and it's the same for everybody, obviously, you know, if you can stay healthy. But I think, you know, those guys have a chance to be really good. I mean, obviously, we know they press the whole game, you know. So, you know, they have the body, they have the depth to do that at an extremely high level this year. And I think they have – the talent, you know, to be extremely, extremely successful. So I think that's going to be my team to watch in the MAC is going to be the Manhattan Jaspers. And so, but I think we're going to be in for a fun year in the MAC, man, for sure.
Definitely, Ace. Now, I want to get into one of our favorite segments that we have on this show, man. And, you know, the craziest thing that we saw all week, man. And I don't know about you, Ace, but for me, the craziest thing that I saw this week, man, was the Ohio basketball team went on a 40-0 run against Cleveland State. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, man, shout out to Cleveland State, you know, Norris Cole. We know they have a great basketball culture, but, I mean, she did something that you normally see when it's like a D1 versus like a D3 or a Duke versus like an NAIA school. I mean, these are two mid-major legitimate Division I programs. And let me just read you the numbers, eh? So, with a minute and 27 seconds left in the first half, the score is 46-25 Ohio. So it's already a 21-point drubbing, okay? Now, we fast forward a little bit to 8 minutes and 23 seconds left in the second half. So that's about 12, 13 minutes past. It is now 86-25. So we got 13 minutes of game time, a 40-0 run. I mean, Jesus. They couldn't get a free throw, Ace?
Yeah, that's the most baffling thing to me. I'm like, dude, okay, so we're down 20, you know, we're down about 20 with a minute left in the first half, you know, going to halftime, we're coming out. As soon as it gets that 10-0 run in the second half, you know, now we're down 30. I'm gonna get to the cup. I'm gonna force my way, you can call it charge, something. I'm getting to the basket. One way or another, I mean, we heard Coach Dungy talk about my confidence earlier. I might even shoot it from 5 second line. I'm getting something going up toward the rim. I'm going to try to get fouled. Like, I don't understand how at this point, 13 minutes of game time passed, we can't get a free throw, a layup. I mean, you can accidentally fall toward the basket and score. I mean, the rest of these days, you go to the basket and rebound somebody, they're liable to call a foul. I mean, I'm not understanding how it's possible to allow a 40-0 run to happen, and now you're down 60. Like, think about it, you're down 60 points. Like, you would think around 35, something would click in, like, all right, let me try something. I mean, whatever we're doing right now ain't working. Let me try something else. But I guess that moment never came to them. I'm in disbelief. That is absolutely wild. And like you said, it's not like we're talking about, you know, Duke versus Appalachian State or some, you know, NAIA versus Kentucky or some wild. These are two mid-major teams. This one really put me at a loss for words. I was extremely surprised when I saw that.
Yeah, man, that definitely was a shocker for me. But hey, man, I mean, hey, maybe Ohio. This is just the beginning of kind of, you know, a great season for them. I will say, man, they do have an NBA prospect over there right now. So for all my listeners right now, man, I'm gonna give you guys a NBA draft sleeper. Okay, I'm sure that you guys probably haven't heard his name a lot. If you haven't heard it, I want you guys to go right now, go on YouTube, go on Synergy for all my college coaches, college players. Look up the name Jason Preston, okay? He's a 6'4", 180, 190-pound guard. Ace, listen, when I tell you he's going to play in the NBA, I promise you, he's I mean, he looks like he's more about 6'5", 6'6", on camera, but he's averaging 19, 7, and 8 assists right now, all right? Shooting 60% from the field. He's a big guard. He's efficient. He can score. He can pass. He's a triple-double threat every time he gets on the court. He's great in pick and roll. So, this is obviously a mid-major podcast, so we're going to highlight this mid-major gem right now. I think he's going to be the next great mid-major player to make that jump to the NBA. He's only a junior, so, I mean, he could potentially come back for another year. I think if he does what he's supposed to do, he can leave this year. But Jason Preston, guys, definitely keep an eye out for him. He's going to be a major, major player this season for Ohio in the MAC Conference.
All right, man, you guys heard it here first. Jason Preston, your newest mid-major sleeper, man. I definitely agree with you, Drew. I mean, I haven't seen him play live, but I've seen some highlights of that kid, and he's definitely hooper, man. Big guard is what we call him over here, man. My guy gets to the cup, he shoots it, he dimes out, he can rebound the ball. And as we've seen in the past few years, man, the mid-major players are getting more and more popular when it comes to, like, NBA. I mean, we see John Morant got picked second in the draft as a sophomore. I mean, it wasn't like he's a four-year player. This dude was a sophomore who went to the NBA out of Murray State. So definitely going to keep an eye on him, man. For anybody who wants to watch this guy play live, they're going to be playing Marshall this Sunday at 2 p.m., man. So if you can get a link to that game, it's not looking like it's going to be on ESPN Plus or anything like that, but if you can get a link to that game, definitely tune into that to that one. As for the rest of the weekend action, man, there definitely is a couple games that you're not going to want to miss. So we're definitely going to make sure you guys going to fill you in on those games. And the first one is going to be we talked a little bit earlier about the SoCon, Furman in Cincinnati. That's going to be happening Wednesday night. So as soon as you guys press play on this podcast, man, go ahead and get over to Furman in Cincinnati. It's going to be happening Wednesday evening, as well as Liberty and Missouri are going to play Wednesday night as well. Obviously, Liberty has already gotten two SEC wins. They've beaten Mississippi State and they've beaten South Carolina. They're getting a chance to get their third SEC win. And Drew, I'm going to tell you, I think they're going to do it, man. I think Liberty is going to get their third SEC win of the season. They're going to go and they're going to beat Missouri Wednesday evening. Liberty is a team that has NCAA tournament experience. They're a senior-led team, man, and they're going to be a tough out come March, man. We gave you South Dakota State earlier. I'm going to give you another one in Liberty as well. Liberty's going to be there come March, looking for that, getting that 12-5, 13-4 upset. I think they're going to get their third SEC victory of the week, of the young season on Wednesday night. I think they're going to beat Missouri. And then another is going to be Furman in Cincinnati. That's Wednesday night as well.
All right, Ace, me and you, too. We shall see, man. Thus far, the SEC is looking like it might be a mid-major conference, man. They're struggling. We saw Kentucky, you know, get smacked by Georgia Tech. Obviously, they lost to Richmond already. They currently only have one ranked team in the top 25, and that's Tennessee, who hasn't even played a game yet. So, I mean, I'm not too high on the SEC. People going into the season were very high on it. You know, we had the Alabamas, and people were, you know, so excited about the transfers that they were able to bring in. We got, you know, Javon Quinterly, who was finally able to play. Eric Musselman in Arkansas. You know, we knew where we were going to have our Tennessee. We're excited about Florida. I mean, but thus far, the conference has definitely underperformed. We've seen multiple teams in the SEC get upset by smaller schools, mid-majors, teams that we think we're supposed to win. You know, we heard Coach Kyler Perry come on in his press conference and pretty much hedge his bets pretty good and let us know that they were going to lose those three games before they even happened, you know. But I don't know, man. The SEC is not looking too hot thus far in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the SEC is going to be all right, man. I mean, we've seen Florida just go on ESPN and beat Boston College pretty well. They look good. Tennessee hasn't played a game yet, but they're going to be a top 10, top 15 team in the country, in my opinion, this year. I think Kentucky's going to find their way. We've seen them struggle early. They're a young team. They got a bunch of freshmen. Calipari, you know, rightfully so, hedged his bets early on with this team. So I think they're going to figure it out, though. I mean, they got B.J. Boston. They got Terrence Clark. They're going to be two top five, top 10 picks in the NBA draft this year. They have too much talent to not figure it out. So I think they're going to come around. Then you got teams like Alabama, who's missing in a whole lot of transfers, a whole lot of new guys to the mix. But I think, obviously, they're coached by Nate Oates, the former Buffalo coach, man, I think they're going to figure it out eventually as well. And we saw them get shellacked early on by Stanford, but I think they're gonna figure it out, man. I think the SEC is gonna still find its way to get 5-6 teams in the tournament. You're going to have your Tennessee, LSU, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas. I think all those guys are going to be in play come March to potentially get into the tournament.
We'll see, man. I don't know if I see 3-4. I think I might see, 2-3, the 1-3 range for the SEC. But, nonetheless, we will have to see, man. We want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave us a review, leave us a rating. We'd love to hear your feedback if you have any. But, for now, we're going to let Pull Up Tay go ahead and take us out. We will see you guys next week. And as always, stay safe. This is episode 2 of the Auto Biz. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm joining the clutch, boy. You beating on me? I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. You want a sideline? You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me? I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm joining the clutch, boy. Let's go. It's a topic of discussion.